from the KERA Newsroom, I'm Justin Martin. A Plano couple's bid to overturn Texas's ban on same-sex marriage reaches a federal appeals court in New Orleans tomorrow. And in a few minutes, we'll hear from a storm chaser. What a tornado sounds like. We'll start tonight with a first for North Texas, a partnership that will put a charter school within a public school. This fall, Lee Elementary in Grand Prairie expects to house up to 300 Uplift Charter School kindergartners and first graders. There will be separate teachers and classes. Parents will get to choose. Grand Prairie Superintendent Susan Hall says both schools will learn from each other.
The benefit comes from what we've begun to call cooperation and healthy competition. We know there's value in competition. There's a lot of value in looking across the hall and wondering if I'm doing as good a job as that teacher.
Uplift CEO Yasmin Bhatia wants her teachers to learn how Grand Prairie instructors help the district create specialty schools in the environment, fine arts, leadership, or STEM. Uplift, which runs 14 other charter schools in North Texas, will bring its data savvy.
We actually are able to do a more sophisticated analysis of our data to be able to understand how different groups of students are performing. So that way when our teachers are pulling small groups, they're able to be more effective in knowing which groups of students to pull based on what standards those children have mastered or not mastered.
Financial details are still being worked out. The school options will be explained to parents beginning this weekend. Tomorrow, a federal court in New Orleans will hear arguments about Texas's ban on same-sex marriage. As KERA's Lauren Silverman reports, it's one of the most conservative federal appeals courts, and it could end bans in Texas, Mississippi, and Louisiana.
Last year, Mark Ferris and his partner Victor Holmes made history.
A federal judge actually said Vic and I and gays and lesbians are equal to everyone else. And that's something that, you know, we have not heard most of our life.
Ferris and Holmes, who live in Plano, and another couple from Austin brought that case. A federal judge in San Antonio ruled in February that the Texas law banning same-sex marriage was unconstitutional.
You know, it was just an overwhelming moment.
The Plano couple was thrilled, but they still couldn't get married because the judge left the ban in place, pending appeal. So now it's time for the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals in New Orleans to hear arguments. And the Fifth Circuit is considered one of the most conservative federal appeals courts in the country. So does that matter?
That's a great question, and it's a matter that, of course, we debate all the time.
Former U.S. District Judge Royal Ferguson is the dean at the University of North Texas Law School.
My view is that the court is composed of very intelligent jurists, and they're committed to making the law work and to interpreting the law as required by Supreme Court precedents and the United States Constitution. And yet, when you're dealing with issues like this, there is wiggle room.
The three-judge panel will hear arguments about whether legislatures have the leeway to restrict same-sex marriage. And while it is possible the court won't rule on the case, Ferguson is betting otherwise.
Let me say that I think there will be a decision made.
Oral arguments start at 9 o'clock Friday morning. Lauren Silverman, KERA News.
There were two small earthquakes in Irving early this morning, both 1.9 magnitude tremblers and another one about 30 miles south in Midlothian. The U.S. Geological Survey reported a 2.7 magnitude quake there at 2:12 p.m. It seems like North Texas has been earthquake central this week, but as spring approaches, a more familiar natural disaster looms, tornadoes. Today on Think, Chris Boyd asked professional storm chaser Sean Casey what a tornado sounds like up close.
It's mainly like a large waterfall. Like if you're next to the Niagara Falls and having that large rushing power, yeah, that, if you, do you want me to go for it?
Yeah, please.
Like that kind of sound. Mm-hmm. And then if it's picking up larger debris, then it'll have more of a rumble. And so when people describe, you know, like a freight train going near or over them, then yeah, I think they're usually describing that, you know, they were in the town when it happened and that tornado was picking up a lot of large debris and creating that rumble. And then little tornadoes, little subvortices, they'll make little hissing sounds when they start to form up. And you might be driving under subvortices and you'll hear these kind of like this all around you. And those are these little subvortices happening. So they make lots of different sounds.
Casey's IMAX film Tornado Alley opens this weekend at the Perot Museum of Nature and Science. Think re-airs tonight at 9, or listen to the podcast, keira.org/think, where you get a look at the 14,000-pound tornado intercept vehicle that Casey drives. 20 years ago this week, the conductor who helped build the Dallas Symphony Orchestra, Eduardo Mata, died in a plane crash. Tonight, the orchestra honors his memory with a piece Mata conducted at his first Dallas concert. KERA's Bill Zeeble reports on memories of the maestro.
In the world of classical music, Mexico City native Eduardo Mata was a youngster when he began his 16-year Dallas run. Mary Reynolds, a first section violinist for nearly four decades, was hired by Mata. She says the then 35-year-old conductor was already a rising star with an RCA record contract to boot.
It was important for the DSO because it was an ongoing contract on a yearly basis, probably two or three records a year. I think that it put the DSO on the map in a very viable way.
Mata brought the orchestra into the new Meyerson Symphony Center in 1989. Reynolds also loved the way Mata interpreted Mexican composers and music with Mexican themes. His Dallas recording of El Salón México is her favorite.
For us, it was really kind of revolutionary to play those works of Moncayo and, of course, the Chavez that we're playing this week, the Sinfonía India, but also the Copland El Salón México. Because with Eduardo, the tempi are just absolutely perfect.
Bass player Clifford Spohr, with the orchestra more than half a century, says Mata also brought a goal of musical perfection.
His legacy is precision. He had us playing so precisely that it would just set the standard for our playing, and we try to live up to that still.
Equally impressive was Mata's calm under pressure. Principal percussionist Doug Howard remembers Mata conducting the orchestra about when he started in 1977. The lead violinist made a mistake, starting a solo early. It could have been disaster.
And without skipping a beat, Eduardo started cueing people to come in one at a time. It was as if nothing ever happened. I mean, the audience could not have known. He didn't allow it to get out of control. He just fixed it on the spot. I went home and I said, "This man's a genius."
Mata's tenure with Dallas ended in 1993. He was about to start a new position leading the New Zealand Symphony when he died. The DSO held a memorial concert for him then. Some remember it as one of the most moving events they've ever seen at the Meyerson. This weekend's performances show that two decades later, memories of Mata's passion for music run as deep as the musician's love and appreciation of the maestro. Bill Zeeble, KERA News.
A free week-long photo exhibit of Mata's life will be on display in the Meyerson beginning this Sunday. Tonight, cloudy skies, low around 28. Tomorrow it should be mostly cloudy with a very slight chance for snow or sleet before noon with a high near 34. It's 37 degrees in Dallas and Fort Worth. You can like KERA News on Facebook or follow us on Twitter. From the KERA Newsroom, I'm Justin Martin.